reading to you from the 8th chapter of Mark, and with the 34th verse. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels shall save it." Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, we have spring. We've got rain. We have snow. But, oh, my neighbor's trees, they got two umbrella trees. You heard me speak about them. They're all green now. They look so nice. Our lawns are all turning green. Oh, I love spring. Oh, yes, I do. Of course, I love fall and I love winter, but not as much. I have to tell you the truth. But we can see snow from my place. We can see 80 miles or more, and it's all snow. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. If you got a troubled heart, won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 5th chapter of Genesis, and turn with me to the 24th verse. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, introduced to a man on the obituary page. By the way, I want to ask you this. I asked an old man one time how he was doing. He said, "Well, tell you what I do, Mr. Moe. I get up and I pour me a cup of coffee, and then I get the newspaper and look in the obituary sheet, and if my name don't appear in, I drink my coffee and start out with a good day." Well, that's pretty good advice. A man who speaks of life in a chapter of death. Now, this is a gem amongst genealogies. And I read in Hebrews 11:5, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so they should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Friends, you know, many times in prison, I've asked them, well, the men have told me themselves, "Well, you know, Cecil, you know, you always give an invitation when you get done." That's correct. Why do I do that? Because I said I come here to tell you about Jesus, not religion. Not talking about you coming and joining my church or joining some denomination. I'm wanting you to join up with Jesus, and by repenting of your sins and accepting Christ, you become born again. "Yeah, but Cecil, I've prayed that prayer 350 times. Well, I said, "You can only pray it once." "What do you mean?" I said, "If you truly, truly repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart, he'll save you. You'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and you'll be born again. And you never, 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 never have to pray that prayer again." Did you hear me? Why? Because you don't lose your salvation. Sometimes you lose your way, you lose your walk, and you lose the joy like David did, but you will not lose your salvation. You say, "Well, my pastor said that we could." I said, "Well, your pastor's dead wrong. I'm sorry, but he's dead wrong. Read the Bible. Read John 3:16. Read Romans, where it says there's therefore no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That means eternal condemnation. God took him, Otherwise, he translated that he should not see death. He was taken in the strength of his life. He was taken when comparatively young. Now, his family must have missed this good man, but listen. Comfort from Enoch's experience when loved ones are taken in death. Friends, listen. I just lost my mother-in-law, who was 95 or 6 years old. Dear lady, loved her to death. But you know, friends, I lost my daddy. I lost my mom. I lost my baby sister. In fact, I've lost my... Recently, I lost my sister and my 2 brothers. And I'm the only one of the old family left. But it's so comforting to know that they were taken to heaven. Now, they wouldn't have been taken to heaven if they hadn't been born again. And I must tell you, and you've heard me say this many times, when I was 9 years old, we lived in Odell, Oregon. And Billy Sunday, that great evangelist, came to speak there on an Easter Sunday morning. That place was packed. And that great evangelist came out, and man, he didn't play with words. He didn't read a whole things that the church should be doing. He talked about Jesus. And he said he was the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. You think you can circumvent Jesus and get to heaven? Ain't going to happen. I've talked to many Jewish people who want to circumvent Jesus. And they're all right, but they're not all right. They're God's chosen people. I'll admit that. And I just wish and pray that our president and our government will quit putting Israel down. Don't turn against Israel, beloved. If you do, you're asking for a lot of trouble. Now, Israel, I think, eventually will. I believe they probably attacked Iran. Because Iran said, we're going to blot you off the face of earth. Ain't going to happen, beloved. Not going to happen. No, it's not. Well, his reputation before him was taken. He walked with God. Oh, my stars. Let's read that again. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Oh, friends, he was a man of faith. You know, that's a wonderful to say, boy, I like that guy because he's a man of faith. You know, you've heard me speak about my ex-pastor and in Oregon, you know, Dale Freeman, who's got a worldwide ministry, and he has a worldwide prayer program. I called him, and I say, I got this man's going in for surgery, or I'm sick in the hospital or something. Immediately he gets on his computer, puts that in the computer, emails around the world. People in Russia, people in Africa, people in Korea start praying for us. Oh, my friends, do you realize that, you know, that's the one thing I wish, and that's the one thing I've been trying to tell my dear friends in the church there in the Dalles. Become a praying church. Oh, have you ever read the story of Praying Hyde? The man, when he died, had calluses on his knees. He spent hours of a day praying. You know, it's not easy to pray. Come on. Isn't it funny when you want to pray, the devil's always got something that's more important? You got to go down the store and pick up some bread, or you got to do this, you got to pick up some... And that's the way the devil operates. He does not want you and I to pray, because if we do, that's the most powerful tool you have in your toolbox. Prayer, talking to God. You have not because you ask not. You have a need today, ask him about it. You have a problem, talk to him about it. You don't have to say thus, this, now. You talk to him just like you would talk to me, or I'd talk to you. Tell him what your needs are. Tell him if you're discouraged. Tell him if you're tired. Tell him if you want to throw in the towel and quit. He'll encourage you. Oh, friends, I've got a book here. God's promises. Oh, I've given lots and lots of them away because they're so important. You might have you might be anxious about something today, and it'll tell you where to go. And there'll be about 7 or 8 verses of promises in God's Word. It's just like God sitting down and writing you out a letter. It is the most beautiful thing. You ought to get one. I tell you, it really, it's God's promises. Because, beloved, you see, God cannot lie. No, he cannot. Well, he was a prophet, believe it or not. And I read in Jude 14. And about these, also Enoch, in the 7th generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. Friends, that's going to happen someday. Battle of Armageddon. God is going to, Jesus is going to ride on this green, where did I get green this morning? On this great white horse. The blood will run to the horse's bits, but he'll lead us into a victory. You know what? He wants you to be victorious today. Now, there's that preacher evangelist down in Texas that said God had released him from preaching on salvation, and now he is to preach prosperity. Horse feathers. It's not true. If that man's saved, he better get on his knees and repent. God never told him that, friends. You can bank on it. If he did tell him it, then this book's not true. But God does not lie. See, we might lie to one another, but I'll tell you one thing. God will not lie to us. Well, he warned of the coming judgment. Did you know, and I'm sure that you do if you know Jesus, I will stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. How you spent your money, how you gave to the poor and the needy, how you lived your life, how you witnessed, how you did personal evangelism. It's all in the book. He's got it all written down, and he don't need a computer. He's got it, and he knows what we've done. And we're going to have to say, Lord, I was on earth 75 years. I went to church every Sunday. But you know, Lord, I was afraid, and I never told him about Jesus. That scares me, beloved. I have a hard time believing that anyone in this lifetime who's repented of their sins and been born again and never witnessed for Jesus, that they knew him. Cecil, that's pretty strong talk. Well, it may be strong talk. But if you know him, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What we were commanded to do, witness, do personal evangelism. Go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Oh, friends, God has a lot of work for you and I to do. And you say, well, Cecil, I don't have an education. So, I'm not good looking. So, I'm not either. And I'm not very smart. But I tell you one thing, I know Jesus. And he sobered this old drunk up 55 years ago and gave me a walk that I look back over the things that God has allowed us to do and I rejoice. Even when I've been so sick, I can go back and think, oh my stars, how about that time that this man called me crying and I had the privilege of introducing him to Jesus. Oh, the 33 years that I was on this one station. Many times in the middle of the night, alcoholics would call me, and I'd tell them about Jesus. And I've had homosexuals call me, and I've had prostitutes call me and tell me that their life was empty, and they needed something. And they said, you said something about God loving me. Oh, I said, that's true. God really does love you. And he spoke out boldly against sin. You know what? You don't hear much of that in the churches today. You kind of hear a candy-coated gospel. Well, and they tell you, once you get saved, you'll never have any problems financially, physically, spiritually. That is a lie out of hell. Peter said, you will have trials and tribulations of your faith. My, I'm telling you. So don't expect, if you're expecting to get saved, repent of your sin, get saved, and never have any problems, forget it, because you're going to have them. But the secret is, he will go with us through it. That's right. He said he'd be with us. Remember when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego got thrown in that fiery furnace? They threw three of them in there, but Dad burned it. They looked in and they saw four. Well, that was Jesus in the fire. You remember when they coming back from the island of Gadara after going on and leading that demoniac to Christ? A great storm appeared. Jesus was asleep in the backside of the ship, sound asleep. Now, these seamen were not novices. Those guys were professional. They've been on that sea many times. Now, you think a little ocean or a little sea like that wouldn't get a storm, but boy, they do. Well, they fought to try to keep that boat from going down. Finally, they, in desperation, cried out, Jesus, do you want us to perish? And he said, oh, you men of little faith. And he just spoke. That's all he had to do. And no more storm. The storms of life are surrounding you tonight. Remember, you are not, I repeat, you are not alone. He said, lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. Now, Enoch's neighbors knew him as a man of God. The reason he was taken, we can only speculate. We know he lived in a difficult time, and the world was ripening for judgment. Now, God may have chosen to spare him much grief. We cannot be sure why Enoch was taken. We can be sure our God loved him. And we can be sure our Lord knows the future. He knows your future. Oh, friends, every time I think about it, God has a plan. I play that silly song over and over. God has a plan. Here I was, a no-good drunken alcoholic, and I found Jesus. And he sobered me up. He gave me back my family. And then he called me to be a preacher. Didn't want to be a preacher, but I'm so glad I told him I would. No, I've struggled, and I've had health problems, financial problems, physical problems, but I keep on keeping on because of Jesus. That's the only reason. I'm not doing it for myself. Why I go to prison when I'm sick? Because those men may never hear. They may never hear again. Not everybody that goes to prison preaches the gospel. I want you to know that. Oh, no, they don't. Many don't even give invitations. In fact, the matter is, there's a lot of churches in our area don't even give an invitation and don't even have service at night. And then they have what they call prayer meeting. What is prayer meeting? They go, the preacher gets up there and yakety-yakety-yak, calls Brother Smith for one prayer. He prays a little short prayer, ends it, and they go home. That's not prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is when people get on their knees and cry out to God, confessing their sins and their faults, which we have. Oh, yeah, you're not sinless. Don't you come up here and tell me, well, Cecil, I'm sinless. Because if you say that, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Some things from which believers are spared at death, the sorrows at our head, the ravages of sin and the infirmities of the flesh. Well, I'll say I've had the infirmity of the flesh, but only the Lord knows the reason loved ones are taken. It's hard. You know, here's a woman been married to a man for 20, 30 years, 40 years, loved him, took care of him, and all of a sudden he has to go. It is very difficult for a lady. And you know what? Our churches are supposed to take care of the widows. Oh, yes, they are. I don't hear much of it. I told you when I was had that lung tumor in California and I was going to Bible college, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. We didn't have groceries and we had children. There was a deacon, very poor deacon in our church, very poor. Every other day, a gallon of milk and two loaves of bread. That would sustain us. Nobody in the church ever knew that deacon did it, but God did it. God knew it. You know what? It always thrills me when God leads me to do something and I think, how did that ever come about? Well, God leads us. Has he led you this week? Have you been led to a soul? Have you been led to witness? Oh, friends, he wants to lead you. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be happy. You know, some people say, well, Christians run around with a long face. Well, I don't. With a face like mine, I have to smile once in a while, you know. But God loves you tonight. He's calling you tonight. He wants to do something for you. But we must leave the mystery of his will to him. His residence after he was taken was, Enoch was taken to be with the Lord. Now, Enoch addressed become heaven. Christians are taken to heaven when they die. Now, there's those Adventists and a few people believe in soul sleep. They think they sleep and then, no. That thief on the cross that repented of his sins, from this day forth, Jesus said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was a God's promise. That's why he went to the cross. The other one rejected him, but not this other one. He accepted Christ. They go there immediately. Now I read in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Joe Hoskins, this old, ugly, Lummi Island Indian that was saved in one of my meetings in Bellingham, Washington. Man has spent seven or eight years in the prisons and reform schools. Alcoholic, mean, hateful. And we were in an airplane, Cessna 180. Me and my friend was going over to Lummi Island, over to an island to take these films over. And it was very, very rough, turbulent. And boy, that little airplane was bouncing like a cork. And Joe was in the back seat by himself, and he had one arm off, just a stub, I mean. And there he was. He was the brownest Indian I ever saw, but he was the whitest Indian I ever saw. I said, Joe, what's the matter? He said, we may crash. We may crash. I said, so? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. He said, that's my problem. I said, Joe, that's your problem. You can have the Lord. Well, they go to a promised mansion, and I read in John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. That's God's promise. Friend, you say, I want to know Jesus. Well, you can before the night's over. And it tells us in Philippians, they go to a place that is far better. Philippians 1:21. For me, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know what to choose. Paul was between a rock and a hard place, but he knew what God wanted. Enoch had no more human limitations after he was taken. What Enoch may have seen, things we had learned about all of his walks, things that surpassed all of his dreams. When God took Enoch, he was ready to go. Jesus made it possible for all to be ready to go. Are you ready to go? Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sins? Oh, friends, listen to me. You say, Cecil, tonight I really do feel a tugging at my heart. And I know I'm not right with God, and I'd like to know I was going to heaven. Well, here's what you got to do. If you're willing to repent, and you're willing to tell God you're sorry, godly sorry, and then you will accept Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for you and for me, then you're ready to pray. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray that you'll forgive my sins. I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. Oh, God, I want a new life, so I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you, and I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned about where you spend eternity. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the call. 303-471-8534.
touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Knoll. Thank you, dear ones, for listening, and oh, thank you. Thank you, dear ones, for praying for me. You just don't know how I appreciate that. That's what keeps me going. Going to prison and going to rescue missions and telling people about Christ. That's the joy of my life. Well, listen, keep us in your prayers. And I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.